نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد مال الجود والكرم اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وآله وصحبه وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا وعلي وصحبه ألف ألف مرة أما
الله سبحانه وتعالى we should be millions of times grateful to him. Millions of times grateful to him that in this great night Allah Ta'ala has given us an opportunity to sit down for a short while in the masjid and such a great treasure of dhikr Allah has bestowed to us. When any treasure or gift that's given to him, that Allah has given to him, and if he starts with paying gratefulness to Allah, if he's showing the gratefulness to Allah, then Allah Ta'ala increases that ni'mah many times over. Many times over. Now look, in life Allah Ta'ala from morning till evening, so many ni'mahs, gifts, treasures He gives to us. Start from the morning. Let's look from the morning. When a person with safety and security gets up from his bed, your hands are functioning, your mouth is functioning, your body is functioning in the morning. And then bigger than that, Allah Ta'ala gives us a new lease of life in the morning and the next day, which means that Allah Ta'ala has given to us another day, another chance, another opportunity, that maybe during this day, this man will prepare for the Akhirah, thereafter. Maybe he'll repent to me from his sins. The pious predecessors have stated that Allah Ta'ala giving us all these chances, that the next day that Allah Ta'ala gives to us, those people of wisdom understanding, it's a great hint to them that before this I could have passed away and so many sins were on my head, but Allah Ta'ala has given me another chance today that if I do tawbah, then all my sins will be forgiven. So this is how a person, he starts with the ni'mas of Allah, the previous sins forgiven, and for the future preparation. That time when a person gets up in the morning, Alhamdulillah, الَّذِي أَحْيَانَا بَعْدَ مَعَمَاتَنَا وَإِلَيْهِ النُّشُورِ. We are being grateful to Allah. Even if you don't know it, then just say it in your own language. Allah, I'm millions of times grateful to you. You've given me more life. And definitely say this statement. Don't forget this statement. We remember it in Arabic, but we don't think about the meaning. With the niyyah of thawab, no, there's a message in the statement. There's a message in the statement. So the biggest message that Allah Ta'ala has given to us is that such a great opportunity Allah has given to me, to us. A person, he passes away whilst he's asleep. The ruh is not there. He's cold. He's cold. 6 hours, 8 hours, 9 hours, 10 hours. Totally, he's gone. He cannot eat, he doesn't speak, he doesn't know what's going on, what's happening around him in the world, what's not happening, he's not aware there's an earthquake. Gone. Is there a flood? Nothing, because he's gone. He's detached. Totally, he's passed away. So the ruh, it is detached from him at that time. But he's such in a routine wherein we don't understand it, the sleep. But it's something to have fikr and ponder. These verses, they're the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you should ponder and reflect and think that Allah, you gave me maut in the form of death, totally in that way. That the real death, when it comes upon a person, the real death, after the real death, then a person, he requests to Allah, that Allah Ta'ala, Allah, please give me another chance, one more chance. The Quran has explained this. That Allah, just give me one more chance. Definitely, Allah, I promise to you, 100% I'll do tawbah and I'll do good things in the world. Just let me go back. Yes? What a great statement in the Quran. Allah is teaching us this. Every day is happening to us when we sleep. Look at this. And we should do the same action that after waking up in the morning, straight, direct, make a promise to Allah. Allah, you are so merciful, you've made me come to life again. If I died for real, I couldn't have even come back to the world. But you gave me another chance, another opportunity in this world. And obviously all my previous life is a waste before today. So many sins upon sins. But you've given me another chance now. So definitely say this statement, that Allah, to you, I promise and I also repent. Allah, forgive me, inshallah, the day to come, it will pass in preparation for the hereafter. And don't be afraid that, oh, I'm weak, I can't practice, this and that. No, just say this statement. It's such a big statement that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah, to that person will give him full courage and determination to implement that as well. These are the cures that the pious predecessors have prescribed to us. You learn these from the Khanqa. So I'm talking about the teachings of the Khanqas, from the pious elders, the previous centuries. What else do they teach us? There's no lengthy prescription formula and game you have to play a drama. No, they are just small tips that the pious elders give to us how to live our lives. Otherwise, what else is there? The Khanqa. MashaAllah, you can go to lectures, speeches, tafsir of Quran, great scholars, thousands of these things around the world. But in the Khanqa, you get these unique formulas, small advices. Yeah, and it's detached and different to the norm. But ajib, unique solutions are presented that in a few minutes a person can go from somewhere to the highest stage in the Khanqa. There's no criticism of anyone. Nobody puts you into confusion. Such tips and solutions are given to you that you can grab those solutions and your life is transformed. Transformed. That's what we are. That's what we're here for. Many times you listen to big things or technical proofs, etc. They don't take an effect on us. So listen, oh, for example, this alim, listen to the scholar. But really our intention is that we want to improve ourselves, isn't it? So let's go somewhere and you go to a speech or a conference and it doesn't have an effect on you. But sometimes you go to a place and that you think, oh, it's nothing really special. I heard anything technical, lengthy explanation. What can I say about my sheikh? I can just tell you about my experiences. Who else should I tell you about? That, for example, when I used to go to the company of my teacher, my sheikh, then I used to think at that time, maybe, for example, maybe during that time I was in the company of my sheikh that I spoke to my sheikh. But all that I didn't speak, nor did my teacher speak much when I was in his company. It's not about talking, lengthy discussion, it's the connection and the effect. I used to go, I said, Hassab, I'm going now. Then two tears used to come from my eyes and Hazrat, my sheikh, used to look at me lovingly. And then I used to depart from there. Yes. So for example, you must think, how much did I sit down? How many days was there? How much talk? Especially in the Naqshbandi silsila, you don't see this physical discussion, lengthy discussions and talking. No, it's at the tasawwuf gatherings. I'm trying to explain to you that here, for example, a person should not fear that in a year that the sheikh and the murid, the connection, the Naqshbandi order is so strong, so fantastic and solid that, for example, if you have ikhlas and sincerity, muhabbat, the love, then from 1,000 miles away, he'll pull on the student. The effect will rub off on the student. So don't have this worry, oh, I'm too far, I'll have to live far away, what will happen to me, I won't see my teacher. Totally not at all. Distance does not have any effect in the Naqshbandi order. This is the kamal, the uniqueness, because Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, this was his special quality as well. This came from him. So from the pious elders, something I heard, I'll share with you. That all the silsilas, the orders, the schools of tasawwuf, yes, and even Naqshbandi silsila, they go back to Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu in terms of wilayat, piety. He is the fountain of piety, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Ali and Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, these were his children, and they are the fountains of wilayat. And that's why it's stated that wilayat comes from Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu. Yes, he gives the stamp of approval. So what happened? There are two points here, that are points coming in my mind, so I share that with you. That the Holy Prophet ﷺ called Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, he sat him down in front of him and he recited the kalimat. He said, Ali, you also recite these kalimat. And the Prophet ﷺ recited with a loud voice. Then he recited, he said, you also follow. Then he followed and copied. Three times Rasulullah ﷺ recited and he said, Ali, you have ijaza, you go and tell the people now. Say Subhanallah. So this is tasawwuf. This is tasawwuf. Yes, so the initiation in this tariqah happened there. And this is what the sheikh does. That my sheikh, he told me something and he makes somebody a murid, tells him, you also go and do this work. Yes, so that's how the silsila continues. And the second point is that one is doing, a person, for example, Shaykh is doing wazifa, he's doing an action, whatever he's doing, faraid, wajibat, after the faraid. And one is, despite that, away from that, after the faraid and the wajibat, when an individual implements an action with the ijaza of a wali of Allah, then the effect of that practice is very unique. If say Subhanallah, for example. Yes, say a person who keeps reciting Subhanallah. But when on his own he does that, but the difference is when the Shaykh gives ijaz to do that, the effect of that is multiplied so many times. Because it's talqeen, it's with the ijaz at the permission of the teacher. So the pious preachers have said that what's this mean? That when a Shaykh, a teacher gives ijaz to the student, the whole of that spirituality of that Shaykh's effect is converted into the practice of the student. This is a tip of the tasawwuf here. So the more you see the mashayikh around us and our silsala, the mashayikh of our Deoband, what did they have? What was their unique quality? Hazrat Thanvi sahab rahmatullahi was a great scholar. Hazrat Gangohi sahab rahmatullahi, great scholar. And other names as well. What happened there was that when they got ijaza from who? Hazrat Imdadullah Muhajir Makki sahab rahmatullahi, their sheikh, when he gave ijaza, then the silsila continued from them. Before that, none of them learned dhikr. They had no khanka, didn't teach the tasawwuf. They didn't have the knowledge of the tasawwuf. Didn't they know in the kitabs? They do this wazifa, recite this. They knew all the knowledge. But ijaza has the big impact. The sheikh, the teacher, when he gives ijaza to the student, that's when the force comes. That's when the effect changes. That's when the impact comes. Because all of the qualities and the fares and the blessings of the silsala, they are passed over to the student. And they continue. Just like Hazrat Sahib, my teacher, said to me, that when you go back to the UK, when somebody comes to you, then write to them, the wazifa give to them. Someone asked for ta'weez, then write it down. So Hazrat Sahib gave me the ijaza. So what's in this here? Those same kalamat that when I write them down, the rule of for use and the barakat, they will all come into that writing because of the ijaza from my teacher. Yes? So for example, if somebody just writes on his own without permission, teaching, then the effect will be negative. So two things in tasawwuf. One is ijaza is essential, importance of ijaza, permission. Permission, and always try that if you get ijaza, then do an action. That if you want the barakah and the blessings, I'm explaining to you the tariqah, the sahih tariqah, the reality of the deen. And through ijaza, that's why a person goes to Wali Allah and makes somebody a sheikh, that my teacher give me ijaza to do something. So I can do that. One is your own desire, let me recite this, let me read this, fast here, on this day, you do this, nafil action, fine, you do that. That's fine, with thawab, you have the niyyah, whatever you're doing. But if really you want the constant ongoing barakat and blessings, then it's lazim, essential, you get the ijaza of the teacher, the sheikh. Then nur ala nur comes into the action. So what was I saying previously? The discussion, where did it start from today? What was I saying? Help me. Has Ali radiallahu anhu? How did we come up to the topic? Yes, I was telling you a hadith, I think. It's come out of my mind. I've gone off the different track now. Anyway, khair. So what was I saying was that the point that's in my mind that I'd like to share with you. So it's all about tazkiyah and tasawwuf and purification. That was what we've come here for. That Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he has given us the definition of the believer, of the person who believes in Allah. And it's the meaning of the hadith that I was discovering to you. And all of you are aware of this as well. That you are in reality a musafir, a traveler in this world. What did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tell us? That we are musafir. We are on a journey. But we say, we're not on a journey. Yes, we're sat in our home. Where am I on a journey? Where am I going? Musafir is what we've been defined as. And what are the conditions of a musafir? What is a musafir? A person on a journey. That he doesn't have one permanent place. Say Subhanallah. He doesn't have a permanent abode. He doesn't have a permanent resting place. So for example, if somebody says a musafir, he's come for a while, he'll stay for a short while, then he'll go somewhere else. So Rasulullah said, just like when you're on a journey, you rest for a short while under the shade of the tree for a while to rest. So this dunya is like that tree. You've come here just for a few days. You are a musafir. You're on a journey. And the musafir for him, what's the second thing he needs to understand? That where am I going to? If you don't have a destination, then how will you be a traveler? If you say, I'm on a journey, then the next question somebody asks you is, where are you going then? Are you going to Saudi Arabia, Pakistan, Hindustan, India? Where are you going? Where are you going to? Where are you traveling to? Somebody will ask you, you say, I'm a musafir, where are you going? I'm going home to sleep. He said, what sort of traveler are you here? Yes, that you do this every day. So the musafir, the second condition, is that he definitely has an end point, a destination where he has to arrive to, where he's going to, traveling to. Okay? So if Allah Ta'ala has defined, told you you're a musafir, so first thing is that you don't have a permanent staying place in this world. If you do, then it's like the tree, the person on the journey, he just rests for a short while under the tree. Our house, for example, the floods come, they're destroyed and people are sat, the poor souls on the pavement. The person who made a house, it's my house, my house, my house. Allah Ta'ala sent the flood, zalzala, earthquake. Then he's back onto the pavement, onto the road. So where's your house? Where's your house? It's not there. It wasn't a permanent place anyway. So this is a very important point that Rasulullah is teaching us here. So pay attention to this fact. So the musafir definition is number one. You don't have a permanent abode in the world. They're all temporary. You go home, it's temporary. Then the house, whether it stays or not, the next day, Allah knows. Nobody has a guarantee. So you're always ready. So you know this point. And second point is the destination, the end point. What's our end point? What's our manzil? You should know your destination. What's the manzil? That if the traveler doesn't know his destination, then how will he arrive there? If somebody says, I don't have a destination, then he's in danger, that person. What sort of musafir is that? Despite being a musafir, he's not on a journey because he cannot get to where he needs to. The person's on a journey, he wants to go to London, he says, I don't want to go to London. And he's left his city to go to London. Then will he arrive to London? Of course not. He'll just be roaming around. He won't get to the end point. So mashallah, that most of us are travelers, but we don't know where we're going. We ourselves don't know where we're going. We ourselves don't know where we're going. So what sort of journey are we going on? So we have a manzil. What is that destination? What's the name of that destination? Ati'u Allah wa ati'u Rasul. Faqad faza fawzan azim. This is also the teaching we give. So two things here. One is whether Zayd or Bakr or any person. Number one, we are all travelers. Point number one, everything in this world is temporary. Number two, we all have a destination, the same destination. That is, Ati'u Allah wa Ati'u Rasul. This is our destination. We have to get to this point. We have to get to this point. So these two points are clear now. Now, next. So a person will arrive if he follows the correct route, directions. Can a person get to his destination? I want to go to London. I took the car out of the drive and I've got the wrong directions. The wrong directions. Day and night I might drive and travel. But if London's 100 miles or 80 miles, I won't get there. What will you say to me? What will you say to me? Why? What's the reason? Because I had the wrong directions. I didn't have the route. Same way, we want to go to London, Birmingham, Leeds, etc. So to get there, that if we don't go to on the right route, so to get there quickly, look at the preparations, motorways, signposts on every road, motorway signposts, when hurdles come, diversions are given. What's the reason for this? The reason is that this musafir who's coming to this city or town, we want to make it easy for him, we don't want him to lose way, we want him to get there directly and quickly, the shortest distance and time. Isn't it? Look how clear. This is dunya that's teaching us this principle. Dunya. Isn't it? Yeah? That if we don't have these assistants in the world, help, we won't get there. Same way, if our direction is correct, our route is correct, then we will get to the right destination. What is what? Ati'ullah wa ati'ur Rasul. But if our direction is wrong, our route is wrong, then we won't get there. So the person whose directions are incorrect, then it's said that he has got lost, this traveler. He'll go this way to that road, he'll go back way, he won't go on the motorway, he'll lose the sign, he'll get pain, distress, anxiety. Where's this going? Where am I going? Oh, he's going to this alleyway, to that street. But when the direction is correct and he's following that, then with ease and comfort, he follows the signs and he gets to the end point. Yes? So our journey, we are musafir, we believe za musafir, to which destination? Ati'ullah wa ati'ur rasul. So if we keep the direction correct, we follow the right route, the right guidance, then we will get there. If we change that guidance, if we come off that track, that direction, all life long you can keep striving, but you won't get to the destination. Clear what I'm saying? Is it clear what I'm saying? Okay, so what's left now? So the third point now is that how shall we get to this destination then? How shall we get to this and what route shall we take? I'm saying this repeatedly because if we don't do this, then how will we get to our destination? So our destination is Ati'ullah wa Ati'ur Rasul. And we need the route, the road map to get to this destination. How do we get to Ati'ullah wa Ati'ur Rasul? How do we get there? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for this He sent the Anbiya alayhimus salam, who gave us the directions. The prophets. That's why they came. All the prophets that came, they came to tell us the direction, the route, the roadmap to their qawms, to their nations. Always they came to bring them on the right path. That your direction is to attain Allah. They announced, they told their people, and eventually the Holy Prophet, the final prophet, he came and he condensed everything. He summarized everything in his beautiful message. And Allah said that he's brought three things with him. The kitab, wal hikmata, wa yuzakihim tazkiyah. Purification. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So three different functions of the Prophet. The Quran has a different function. The hikmah, wal hikmata, has a different function, effect, which is called Sharia, wal hikmah. And the third function of the Prophet, tazkiyah, purification. Say Subhanallah. So tazkiyah, purification. What is this subject in Islam? Who brought this subject? Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam brought this subject. It's not from today. It's not some new subject. What was it for? This is that thing, that direction, the subject that will give us the direction to Allah. Whoever has learned tazkiyah, studied it, in tazkiyah are the principles that will take you to Ati'ullah wa Ati'ur Rasul, which is called tasawwuf in Islam, ma'rifah, the way to Allah's nearness. Whoever follows this route, he's a salik, the traveler. He's a murid. He's a student. And who the person who guides you on this path is the Shaykh. He tells you the route, the map. The Shaykh. So whoever aligns his route correctly, then he's on the path of tazkiyah. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. He is traveling on the path of tazkiyah, then understand he has taken the right map, the correct map. If he doesn't follow this path of tazkiyah, then he's off track, he's deviated. So tazkiyah is the one thing, Quran and Hadith. After that, what will take us to the manzil? They are giving us manzil. The Quran is giving us information. Sharia is giving us information. And they're making us aware and giving us the knowledge. And they're telling us the hurdles. They're giving us the signs. Say Subhanallah. The Quran and the Sharia. Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't understand what I'm saying. Okay. So tazkiyah, the third subject of Islam, is so important. After taking the guidance from the Quran, from the Sharia, Al-Quran wal-Hikmah, then tazkiyah, it enables you and it takes you physically to the destination. So that's what Allah Ta'ala has given to us. Do you understand what I'm saying up to now? Yes, I've understood, alhamdulillah. I've understood. I'm just explaining to myself, mashallah, if you understand, then it's good for you as well. At least so something I have to tell myself as well. I'm sat here, Allah's brought me here. We're sat here for dhikr. But I thought, okay, let me just refresh myself, revive myself. And whatever I understand and whoever else understands, that's good. So what have we understood up to now? Number one, that we are travelers. Number two, we have a destination, an end point. And that's called, I've told you that, the manzil. The Quran is telling us all of this. The Quran. So we have to see it. Are we off track or is our direction correct? Are we off track or is our direction correct? So we shouldn't think that we'll just get to our destination by default. The person who's on the path of tazkiyah, he's not deviated. He's not off the track. He's on the right path. So he doesn't need to fear. Allah Ta'ala's fadl is with that person. Allah's grace is with that person. Allah's mercy, he's on the right path, the person who's on the path of tasawwuf. So he who's adopted tazkiyah, purification. So what's the message that tazkiyah gives to us then? What is it telling us? Tazkiyah, why does a person study the subject of tazkiyah? For this reason, so that we can get to our destination. Tazkiyah, we study it and follow the path so that we can attain our destination. That's why we adopt the subject of tazkiyah. practice tazkiyah. And there's no other reason that so that I can peacefully, nicely, comfortably get to my manzil, my destination. When I comfortably get to my destination, then what will happen? Tell me. That will happen for which the Quran has given us good news. That will happen if we get to the destination. If we deviate off the track on the way, then that will happen that the Quran has told us clearly that there are two endpoints. Those people who are on the track and with success he gets to his endpoint, to his destination, then where will he go? He will go into the right hand, his things, and the doors of Jannah will open and he'll go into paradise. That's the end point. Remember this. They mean you, that's our consequence, that after death, that this first and foremost will be the person who's successful on this route and he gets to the destination. Then after death, immediately after death, the doors of paradise will open for that person. And he who doesn't get to this destination endpoint and he had the wrong track in life, then to the left side he'll go. And what is that? That he will go to the hell. So there's a big difference between the two. Big difference. So a human being, you can understand his success or failure due to the consequence of that person. That, did he attain his manzil, his destination? Yes or no? Did he get to Ati'ullah wa Ati'ur Rasul? Did he get that and leave this world? Then he shouldn't have any worry. No concern. He is successful. He is successful, that person. Straight to Jannah, paradise, that person will reach. And what is Jannah? This is the reward for that man who worked hard and he was steadfast in the world. He kept on working, making effort with three things. Kitab Allah, Sharia, and Tazkiyah, purification. Say Subhanallah. Yeah, he didn't leave the Quran. He didn't leave the Sharia. And nor did he discard, after taking both these things, Quran and Sharia, then physically he did amal on Tazkiyah, purification. So Tazkiyah physically he implemented in his life. Three things, all three things. So what is that? Then that person will be given good news. Allah will announce good news, Jannah for that person. And what is Jannah? Jannah is the reward for the success of that person. So think now, we need to think that which way is my route going, my direction? This is the manner, this is the struggle and the striving in this world we have to do. So when a person will go into paradise, Subhanallah, in the hadith is stated, Hazrat Shuayb radiallahu anhu, he narrated his hadith, and when a person will go into paradise, and before he goes into paradise, to receive him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will appoint special angels, and those angels are such, like, you know, diamonds are spread across the earth. Allah knows best what they will be like. So beautiful and handsome angels they will be to welcome him. Imagine a human being, the makhluk of Jannah, just for that person tired from the world, broken from the world. Look, brothers, when a person, he travels on the path of tazkiyah and he's seeking Allah, then he gets tired in the world. Remember this. He gets tired, knackered. He doesn't get the enjoyment of the world. He doesn't look for the enjoyment of the world. He's so tired. He gets so tired, that insan, so tired, then after dying, after passing away, he has no fear. Rather, he will feel, Allah, I'm so grateful now I've come to the place of rest. Subhanallah. People will be crying, he'll be grateful after death. Allah, I'm saved from the disaster of the world. I was stuck in a trap, dangerous place. Everywhere around me, Allah was fearful. And I had concern for the akhirah. There was the trap of the dunya, nafs and shaitan. Every second, there were traps laid to deviate me. I was in a problem and difficulty. Allah, I'm so grateful. Allah, you made me successful and I've arrived at paradise. Subhanallah, imagine that time for that human being. So if you close your eyes for a moment and think that you've gone through this world and you've had a struggle, and then when you enter into paradise, and he'll see after entering paradise, Allah says to receive him, his initiation, that man, that he will be so overjoyed when he sees paradise. Allah, to receive me, these angels are here to welcome me into paradise, so beautiful and handsome. Subhanallah. In the hadith is stated, That Jannati will be tired, knackered, in a bad, downtrodden state, leaving the dunya, distressed, surrounded with sickness and problems and difficulties and so many struggles in the world. As soon as he departs this world, he will be transformed, suddenly changed. What change? That his face will be like full of noor, body, there'll be no hairs, no beard, beautiful, handsome locks, and beautiful, handsome face. His eyes will be twinkling and glowing, just like surmas in his eyes, and there'll be intoxication when you look at his eyes, and handsome and beautiful, and his age will be 30 years forever. 30 years old forever. This will be the initiation of his beauty for the woman and for the man. Beautiful beyond understanding. And when he leaves this world, he'll be old, a Buddha, somebody's having an operation. This is how we leave this world. And as soon as he leaves this world, and he worked hard in this world, and this is targhib in being encouraged here, in this majlis, in the color of this majlis, Allah Ta'ala give me and you, Allah has given us targhib that pull yourself together. Allah is saying, pull yourself together, come onto the right path. Come unto the Rabbah, don't work hard in the dunya, work hard for the hereafter, in the morning. Soon as you get up in the morning till night, work hard, effort. One direction, Allah Ta'ala's obedience and Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's imitation. Don't change that track, don't change that route. Every day Allah reminds us in the new morning, in the new day when you wake up, look at the dua that we recite. Allah, that Allah has given us this miracle of seeing the new sun today. Allah makes such nur in my life that my eyes start glowing all day long, and Allah keep following the path of your hidayah and your guidance. These are the duas. That Allah make this new sunrise such a day for me after Ishraq. Make this dua to Allah. Don't try running away after praying. I feel like that my hands don't lower after dua after Ishraq. Yes, if I, it was up to me, a little behind brothers sitting there, maybe I'd carry on that dua long, long till chashed the mid-morning. Maybe. So many things I feel like asking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that time. After Ishraq, I say, oh, the brothers, they sat here, tired, they're difficult for them, so I don't extend the dua too long. It's not showing off. Because you're my friends, I'm saying this. The taste is so great in doing dua at that time. The taste is so great. Ask for this now, ask for that now. SubhanAllah, Allah is giving everything now. So much enjoyment. Morning is departing, our sun's rising. All of Allah's karam, the nur is coming down to us from Allah. Imagine the dua at that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, the morning you've given to me, the new sunrise, the new day. So every breath, Allah, every you can say element in this morning and the current from the nur of the sun, Allah, transform all of this into your rahmah and your ni'mas and bring that into our life. Imagine that. Does anyone feel like lowering his hands from dua at that time? So if I want, really I feel like saying loudly dua at that time. So brothers, don't ask loudly. I feel like it, but people say, oh, he's showing off, this man. Showing off, oh, he's showing that he's a Maulvi and 2 hours he does dua. So I get scared. I say, oh, let me not show off. So let me quickly finish the dua and let's leave here. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us such a great action. Now these are things that will be helpful for us tomorrow. This is the right path, the right track, okay? So we work hard in the world, run here, I don't want loss here, I don't want loss here, quickly, quickly, jildi, jildi, for who? For what? There's no benefit of those things we're running after in the dunya. The thing that will give us benefit, then we should be rushing to that. The thing has no benefit, we're running to that. Wild. So, Atiullah wa Atiur Rasul, this is our destination. And we need to attain this. We need to get to this. And for this, straight path direction. Straight path. So that insan, for him, the best time, most beautiful time will be that when he will enter into paradise and thereafter, and special creation Allah will have created to receive him. How? And after receiving him, they'll take him, that this is your house, this is your abode, subhanallah, to the Jannatin house. That a short definition the Sahabi gives, short definition, great definition. Hazrat Musa al-Ash'ari radiyallahu anhu said, the ajeeb houses of the Jannatis, that with every mansion, Allah will give 4 rivers that will be flowing with each mansion of his, not one, 4 rivers. And those 4 rivers next to each person's mansion, water, milk, honey, and the sharab, alcohol. Then Allah will say, drink as much as you want to drink from it. Sharab, drink, you won't get drunk. You'll have enjoyment from this. This sharab-e-tahur, pure sharab. These 4 rivers are all given to every man's mansion, will be flowing under each one, next to each one. Ajeeb, unique reward. So Jannah, paradise, you know, paradise. Has Ali karamallahu waj. What a great hadith he stated. That in Jannah, in paradise, when a person will arrive to paradise and he'll be set and comfortable, everybody will be in their houses. Hadith, I'm telling you, that are coming in my mind, I'm just sharing with you. So when the Jannati will arrive to paradise, they'll be comfortable, they'll set, they'll have tucked down nicely in Jannah, settle themselves down, then an angel will come to everyone's house. You know, everyone's mansions, not houses, mansions, wives, mashallah, food and delicacies and birds flying, and birds will become meat, and there will be rivers flowing and sharab and guests, and you'll be sat reclining and laughing at each other, and you'll be drinking from the cups, and these are like in a dream, I'm telling you, this is in a dream that we're seeing. The person who passed away, and he was a colleague of us, he saw this in a dream. He was a very good brother, and he did good work of tasawwuf, and he used to sell alcohol in the world. Then he became my friend, mashallah, subhanallah. And then eventually he decorated his paradise in this world. And maktubat, this hal, I'd like to write, these were the days I had accompanied, and I was new. And such people, I started to meet them, zahir, obviously. That was the shade of our sheikh, then all the success is there. Subhanallah. I was a talib alim, then I was a student, and even now, so I saw his hal. I said, that he's a unique person who used to drink alcohol. And then I started saying salam to him and communicate with him. Then he used to all night long sit down outside my house and do dhikrullah outside my house. And it was my house, and he used to sit outside there until Fajr. I said, I won't say his name. I said, don't you go home? He said, forget going home now, Hazrat. That's it, I don't feel like it anymore. So mashallah, he was in love. The first khanqah we had, he made it. He prepared for it. Selling everything of his from before. First khanqah that was made in the whole of Europe. Khanqah Naqshbandiya Murtaziya. Where many jamaats of ours used to come here. The jamaats used to come and stay there. In that time, I'm telling you, I think 50 years ago, possibly. And the children from then who are older now, they used to lead tarawis there. They are here now. I can show you them. They're here. People know them, recognize them. Yes, the jamaats used to come. They used to stay there and sleep there. And he made that khanqah, that brother. Anyway, khair. Life was short and he passed away. And somebody saw him in the dream. MashaAllah, subhanAllah. Beautiful scene. That mashallah, he's on the couches, friends are coming, food's being cooked, they've got alcohol, and they're, you know, like you bang the goblets together, and they're laughing and smiling, enjoying themselves, and ashar, and they said, this is what happened in Jannah, somebody saw them, they're doing this, and then the Quran, they're reclining on their couches, and they'll be discussing and chatting and gossiping. Imagine the scene. In paradise, who people? Which people? Those who attain their manzil in this world. That's why I'm telling you this. So straighten your path, brothers, friends. Otherwise, I'll tell you the other hal as well. The other conclusion, Allahu Akbar. So he stated, the angel will come and say, the angel will come to him and say that Allah Ta'ala has fulfilled his promise to you. He'll say this. Each angel will come to each one, and the Jannati will say, say Allah's promise, that is this greater than Allah's promise, my friend. He'll see his hoors, his house, his mansions, all his rewards and comforts. Those people whose iman is weak, then they laugh at these things when they hear this. Oh, this, they joke against Quran. I've heard them. They say we're Muslim. Yes, and the Quran says that these people are cursed. They're not Muslims in reality. يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ Allah says they joke against Allah and the mu'mineen, the believers. Allah says, وَمَا يَخْدُونَ أَنفُسَهُمْ Rather, they are joking against themselves. وَلَا تَشْرُونَ They don't know. Then the akhirah, they'll realize that how they used to joke against Allah. Iman is that this is the definition of iman. That when you hear and listen to these real events and hadith, then your hair should stand on end and say, Subhanallah, this is the reality. Allah's glory, what He's created. He's given us the straight path, that align your path to the right path. Another person, he'll ask, that the angel says, Allah's promise being fulfilled to you, you say, Subhanallah, the Jannati, this is greater than Allah's promise, more than the Allah Ta'ala. As Abdullah bin Masood stated in another hadith, I just remembered, that when in Jannah and Paradise, when the Jannatis will be given fruits, the Jannati will say, these are the same fruits we got in the world, on planet Earth. Let's just try and taste this pomegranate. What does it taste like? Let's taste this apple. We'll see what this grape is. As soon as he tastes it, then they'll be intoxicated and so overjoyed. They say, Allah, these fruits, I gave you an introduction in the world. The reality of these fruits are in Jannah, paradise. The wives, the same wives from this world, if they are pious and upright, then they will be the sardars, the heads of the hoors in paradise. They say, this is your real hoor. This isn't the wife of yours in the world. She's the hoor in paradise. This, the reality is something else that you will learn in thereafter. The fruits that you eat now, this is an introduction in the world. That just remember their names. Allah says, with the real asal, genuine fruit you'll get, then you'll realize what is the real reward for the insan. Say subhanAllah. So when you hear this, you should get intoxicated. So the angel will say, "That have you got everything you wanted? I've got so much. Do you want anything more?" Say, "No, it's enough. Oh angel, we're full. We're enjoying ourselves. We're enjoying. We're content. We're enjoying so much that we feel to eat the meat of deer. Immediately the deer will come in front of the jannati and it will be skinned and roasted immediately. And whatever he feels like, I want to eat the leg, then the leg is roasted first. Then the spices will put the chutney and then it will be presented to him immediately within that second." And you say, no, I don't enjoy that. I want also the chicken. The chicken immediately will fly to him, in front of him. Within a second, it will fly to him, get cut, roasted, cooked. And then the sharab, the alcohol, the hoor, whatever he feels like, dreams, he'll be put in front of him. Say, Subhanallah. Subhanallah, my brothers. Oh, Zakareen, this time will come. For sure. Just like Jummah's coming tomorrow. Oh, Jannatis, Jannah will also come. For sure. It's not far away. It's not far away, very close. The Prophet said these things are not far. The Sahaba were so happy when their clothes were torn, no kameez, no food, no drink. The Sahaba, when they heard these facts, then they had arrived to Jannah for sure. And for us, we have eaten so much and we hear these words. Imagine the Sahaba asked them, this was their life, preparing for the hereafter. When the Shaykh Rasulullah told them something, then he would make them reach to Jannah there and then. They said, "We feel, verily we are eating the apples and the grapes of Jannah whilst we're sitting here." Say Subhanallah. So, the Jannatis will say, "Who are you?" They will say, "We are special select angels who have come to care and look after you." Say Subhanallah. "We are special select angels who come to interview you to give feedback. There's anything lacking in Jannah?" So just like feedback, they also get feedback there as well. Just like we give feedback here. So the Jannatis will say, "Write the full feedback from us." They will say, "No, you failed." The angels will say, "That you haven't even got the ni'mah." They'll say, "Huh? There's a ni'mah after this? A reward after this?" There's a verse that's come out of my mind. Forgotten the verse. So they will recite the verse. They'll say, "Is it? There's a greater reward and treasure than this in paradise? Something more beautiful and greater than this?" They say, "That's the real ni'mah," the angels say. They say, "Ajeeb, we don't understand. What can there be greater in reward than this?" So when they'll say this to them, then they'll explain that there is one ni'mah. Just wait for a short while. Just wait, and then the veil will be removed, and then they will have the visibility of Allah. The vision of Allah. And then, don't ask what will be the hell. That's the real destination, the ultimate destination. The taste and the enjoyment and the feelings and the emotions that are so long they will not come back to consciousness. And they won't even feel like coming out of that emotion. Subhanallah. So my brothers, all of this, these are the words of Jannah. There are many words about Jannah, many facts about Jannah. Upon what? If we in this world align our path, correct our path, go on the right path, Ati'ullah wa Ati'ur Rasul, we get to that destination, then the doors of Jannah will open for us. And we will be received and welcomed into Jannah. And if, may Allah not allow, we change our direction to the opposite, instead of Ati'ullah wa Ati'ur Rasul, there are many other maps and ways in the dunya. If we adopt those routes, there's one ruh, one direction, but in between there are other routes. I'll tell you that as well. If we adopt the different path, then for that, may Allah forgive, may Allah forgive, may Allah protect all of us, then the destination is Jahannam, hell. Hell and the azab, the punishments of hell. Can a person think and imagine? The refuge from hell, we should seek protection from hell. We should seek refuge from hell. Allah's Nabi has taught us that seek refuge and protection from hell. Such azab, such punishments, that don't even feel like speaking about these punishments. Such severe darkness in Jahannam, severe fire, severe temperature and heat, severe horrible things to drink. Pus a person cannot imagine. Just one mistake leads to that conclusion that he took him off that track, the right path. Shaitan and nafs pulled him and dragged him away whilst he was traveling. This is what Shaitan does. Remember this. Shaitan does it. Whilst you're traveling on the right path, he takes you onto the wrong route. And the Prophet ﷺ did dua and he said, "Allah, seek protection. Allah, seek protection. And Allah, don't take me back to the old ways, my old ways. That Allah, don't put me into a fitna away from the deen." that Allah, He takes us to the right path. He shows us the right path. He illustrates the right path. Then shaitan and nafs drag us and take us off that path. And the thing that destroys us, because he has the power, shaitan, and nafs has the power. Allah has created these powers. And that's the biggest test for a human being. That if it was not that straightforward, then we would just work hard and get to Jannah. But this is the challenge and the exam, the test, the hurdles will come. Barriers will come. These two deviants will come that will take you off the track. Don't come off the track. Keep your path straight. Keep your path straight. Keep your route straight. Now, what is the message? That the destination we need to attain it, Atiullah wa Atiur Rasul, we need to keep on that straight path, the right path, and we shouldn't spoil our path, we shouldn't change direction. So now, to get to this destination, how shall we get there? Which amal shall we do? Say Subhanallah. So the conclusion of my discussion is coming. Listen attentively, the conclusion is coming. First it was the introduction. Now I'm giving you the end point, the conclusion. Because we've understood the message up to now, the biggest thing that's present, we're present in the world to attain one thing. Otherwise everything is a waste, and what we need to attain is Ati'ullah wa Ati'ur Rasul. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ahkams, orders and laws, obedience in the way of imitating the Prophet. This is our whole life. It is nothing else. Eat, drink, Allah gives ni'mas, utilize them. There's no doubt. No doubt. Eat good foods, Allah has given to them. Wear good clothes if it's halal, Allah has given it to you. Allah has given you ease and comfort. Then adopt that path. No, nothing to worry about. But keep your path straight and recognize your destination. Ati'ullah wa Ati'ur Rasul. That's our destination. Yes, and have good sleep. Sleep on a mattress is worth hundreds of pounds. Fine, because if you're doing good actions, practicing the deen, Allah give you ni'mas, Allah give you good wives, Allah give you good food, Allah give you good things, Allah's ni'mas. But don't go away from your work. Don't, whatever you get, be grateful. If you don't get it, don't complain. Have sabr, have patience. The Allah, your decision is on haq, truth. That upon me asking, you haven't given me what I wanted. You haven't bestowed this to me, even though I want it and I'm asking for it. Most definitely you're not giving this to me, then it's hundreds of thousands of times better for me that I want son and you're giving me daughters. I want a daughter and you're giving me sons. Allah, I'm happy with whatever you're giving to me. I'm happy, I'm content with whatever you're giving to me. So everything Allah gives, be happy. If you get it, then utilize those ni'mas and treasures in the permissible way. If you don't get it, be grateful. But don't to try to get something desperately through your efforts and running around wildly, through your methods and techniques. Don't try. If you're not going to get, if you're going to try, try in one thing. Ati'ullah wa Ati'ur Rasul, and try to attain the right thing. Say Subhanallah. Do you understand what I'm saying up to here? Okay, so Ati'ullah wa Ati'ur Rasul, to attain this, to get to this destination. Allah's Nabi says, let's ask Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that you've told us the manzil, the end point, so you make it easy for us, Ya Rasulullah sallam, that so we can get Ati'ullah wa Ati'ur Rasul. How should we do? What should we do? What path should we follow? Because there's shaitan, there's nafs. We're in England, we're in Manchester, we're in America, USA, and you send us in different parts of the world, and there are different environments, different conditions, everyone complains. Everyone's complaining in his maqam. Everybody complains, oh, it's too hard here. We're forced to do wrong. It's too difficult for us. It's too hard for us. Me and you, that, for example, they can't save us from the fire. These excuses, there's Jahannam or there's Jannah. These are the paths, either to Jannah or Jahannam. There's no third way in between. There's no third way in between. These are deception and delusion. What can I do? I can't help it. Think that Rasulullah SAW has given us a tariqah. Let's adopt that tariqah, that method. Wherever you go in the world, Allah sends you to anywhere in the world as a test. Then consider the test is harder. There's only the tariqah that Allah has prescribed to us to attain the end point. Allah has made the solution. Let's utilize that solution. If Saudi Arabia, same solution. Medina Munawwara, same solution you have to utilize. Tariqah is the same wherever you are in the world physically. Remember this. Whether you're in India, same tariqah. America, same tariqah. Bolton, same tariqah. Same solution. Every physical part of the world, you implement the same solution, you will get to Ati'ullah wa Ati'ur Rasul for sure. Because Allah's Nabi Sallam has told us this solution. Allah's Nabi Sallam, let's ask him. That he's told us in his du'as. The wahid is one action through which the human being can attain this destination of Ati'ullah wa Ati'ur Rasul. One thing. One amal. One practice. That is why a person attains success. And this is the ruh of tazkiyah. Say subhanAllah, this is the ruh of tazkiyah. This is the soul of tazkiyah. That you have to stay up night, all night long. You have to pray tahajjud. You have to recite Quran. All of these things are secondary. And everything is an effect. All of these actions are an effect, secondary of this source. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's one action, primary action that you have to do, and you should attain that in your life. If you have the action in your life, then what will you attain? Say subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's itaat, obedience, Rasulullah's ittiba, practice, his following, itaat of Allah, wa ati'ur rasul, ittiba of Rasulullah, you'll attain both of these things, subhanallah. So two things you'll get. And the third thing, you'll be saved from the sins, full tawfiq and ability to save yourself from the sins. Third thing, Allah's rada, pleasure you will attain. Tell me, how many things you've attained? Allah's rada, Allah's pleasure. Number five, in the dunya, you will have reduction in the love of the world. Five things guaranteed if you get this thing in your life, one thing. One action. Yes, all these things are hidden in this one action. This is what we need. You'll get all these five things through this one action. This one factor. Ikhlas will come, then you'll have salah, fasting, hajj and zakat. If you don't have ikhlas, then all of these things will be thrown in your face. Yes, you can recite and pray what you want, do whatever worship, and how will you get ikhlas? From this thing, my friends. From which thing? This is the one thing that I want to explain to you. When I tell you, will you practice on it? True promise? Or will you just listen and then just leave without understanding? Look, I've told you the two end points. It's up to you which end point you want to get to. Then just keep reflecting and asking yourself, I'm explaining to you the right path, the right destination. The rest, shaitan is there to deceive you. You can keep on eating and understanding his deception. It's up to you. No, it's okay. Oh, with this length of a beard I can get Allah. With this short beard I can get Allah. With this face I can get Allah. No, you will get from what Allah has prescribed. Is that amal that Allah has prescribed? Atiullah. If you practice that, whatever Atiur Rasul taught us, that is the end point. If you're not doing it, accept you're wrong. Except wrong and say, Allah, I'll try to come into the right path. No. But if you are content on the wrong, then shaitan has totally made you his client and he's overwhelmed you. Summum bukumun umyum fahum la yarja'un. Totally sealed you into the wrong. The Quran you can recite many times over, but you are sealed in the wrong. But the person who admits his wrong, oh, I don't pray salah, I should pray salah. Oh, I don't pray salah in jamaat, I should pray salah in jamaat. Oh, this action I'm not doing, I should do this action. For this, Allah has opened the doors for that person. For this person, Allah has opened the doors. Allah likes the person who admits to his wrong. Okay, no problem. You're following nafs and shaitan, but you accept your beard is not the right length. In the evening, I commit sins. I look at pictures. I listen to songs. I look at the girls, I look at women, people think I'm pious through my turban, through my beard, but I do these wrong actions as well. You're regretting, you have remorse, you accept your mistakes, you're not telling anyone else, but at least inside, you want to do the right things, but your nafs has overtaken you. But at least you accept you are wrong, and you accept you are wrong. Well, you say, some people say, oh, what difference does it make? It's okay, my beard's alright. Is the beard really important? Islam people say this. Oh, it's not important. Is it not necessary? Is it necessary to do this? Who did this action? Who said we have to do this? Oh, I can do this other way. Never will he get to the end point. Never will he attain guidance because he's challenging Allah. Flagrantly, blatantly. Person, if he's making mistakes, fine, accept Allah, I'm saying wrong. I'm doing wrong. I don't have the courage. I want to do good. Allah, give me courage so I can do good. Should cry, lament, regret. Allah will open the path for you. Me. I guarantee to you, before death, that person will get the high grade iman, that person. If he accepts, cry in front of Allah. Cry in front of Allah, but we don't cry. We look at our faces in the mirrors and we can tell, now I'm so handsome, I'm so beautiful. Oh, bring the mirror to the wife and cut it even shorter. And she'll say, you look so sona and handsome, my husband. Cut it even shorter. We'll go into paradise, Allah Ta'ala will shave it off himself for you. Don't worry, just wait for a short while. If you really don't like it, then wait a few days. At least follow Allah's orders now. Follow Allah's orders. Allah's ordering you that, for example, do it. Allah has given order that to the woman, that hide yourself, conceal yourself, then hide yourself. That for Allah Ta'ala says that hide yourself. If Allah wanted you to expose, then you expose. But you follow Allah's. When you go to Hajj, Allah says, be naked, take off your clothes. Just two sheets of cloth, wear them. Allah says, how dare you? Don't wear the stitched clothes. We throw them away. What does this mean? Allah says, whatever hukum I give, that is the benefit. Don't think benefit is what you think is benefit. Subhanallah. So this is the message of Hajj. Every action is a message. Allah says, don't follow your akal and wisdom and understanding. Asal and real and genuine is what I say is real and genuine, whether your brains accept it or not. But consider that as truth. Why I say, Allah says, take the clothes off. Hajj time, you take the clothes off. And the kings have to take their gowns off. Expensive gowns and cloaks have to be taken off. Hajj time. Don't wear this chappal. And very expensive shoes. They have shoes upon shoes. Pairs, Allah says, take those shoes off. The biggest king has to come barefooted on Hajj. The king. What does this mean? Allah says, this is my, you have to accept my, Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest. Allah says, follow my order, I am the greatest, my hukum is the greatest, not your nafs, not your desires. You can't follow your life and live. If I say grow the beard, who are you to say I don't grow the beard? If I don't want to, you to get the beard, then why would I put hairs on your face, O male? Why would I not put hairs on the face of the women? Because there's no hukum for the women to keep the beard. Allah said, I looked at you, keep it, and you measure the beard, and you weigh it. How long it should be? Do you know who you're challenging and you're committing and you're trying to challenge and compete with? Allah says, I'm giving you chance after chance, come back to the path. Atiullah wa atiur Rasul. Success is in Atiullah wa atiur Rasul. Allah says, I'm waiting. Are you waiting for Maulana Sahab to give a speech? Then I'll practice. That day and age is gone, my friends. That day and age is gone. I'm explaining to trying to clearly. Even then, the ulama, they don't give you the clear message. They don't give you the real message. For example, when you pray behind me in the khanqah, I would not anybody come into the khanqah with the wrong libas. Wrong libas. Everything you could see there, the practice. Every single one constant color and shade. You're in the house of Allah and you have done different colors. Sibghatullah wa ma'asan. Is there any greater color than the sunnah? Tell me, is there any other greater color than that? Tell me, is there any more beautiful color than that? Somebody looks like this, a different appearance, maghdoob or daleen, different appearances, different ibas, different appearance, different hisab. Allah's house, prostrating to Allah, and you're doing the action and those who are opposite to Allah? Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. The at least have akal and wisdom and brains. Who are you competing with, my brothers? This is Allah's giving you a chance. You're eating and drinking, forget that Allah, oh no, I got food today, I am this today, I am this. If Allah grabs us once, shadidul iqab is Allah, then nobody can release you from His grip. Nobody can release you from His grip. Remember this. History tells us this. History. Allah explains to people like me, sinful people like me, totally a waster. Sometimes Allah gives a message. Allah's kamal, that how He gives us and opens the route to His hidayah. Gives us chance after chance that He could take you out of the house, and He's taken you out of your house and brought you from far and seated you in the masjid in Bolton. What has Allah made you hear? Allah has told you His stories and His events. Are you listening or not? Tell me. You listening? Yes. Who's making you listen? Allah, Rabb, the Lord. He has brought us here. You here. Me, if I said He's here, that person will speak today. Hazrain Farooqi Saab, is he an alim? No, he's not a scholar. Is he Wali Allah? No, he's not Wali Allah. Are you mad? Why are you wasting your time getting there, people say? There are people like this, they say this. But when Allah wants you to come out to your house, then He will seat you down with a big introduction. Why? Because Allah wants to give them hidayah, guidance. Why? Allah's choice, selection. Not this, don't go to him, don't listen to him, Islah is with him. Allah says, I will let that person speak that who I will. I select, just listen to my message, Allah says. Listen to my call and Allah drags you here, pulls you here. Today a new day, a new chance I give to you. New message. Say Subhanallah. Do you enjoy what I'm saying or you're not enjoying what I'm saying? Yes, okay, let's continue. So what do we need to do? We need to seek. Atiullah wa atiur Rasul, to find that destination. What's that one factor we need in our life that we get all the results? I've told you those things. Yes, do I need to repeat? Then listen to the bayan afterwards. Repeat the CD. I won't repeat now again. Listen to the CD after. Everything, success will come to one thing. What is that one thing? For that thing, that's why we're here, that's why tazkiyah is here. The subject, what is that? Muhabbat, love, love. Love is the one thing we need in our life. Allahumma inni asaluka hubbaka. Oh Allah, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did the dua, hubbaka Allah. Allah, give me nothing else, Allah, I need your love, Allah, I just want your love. This is the maqsad of our life. Put your hands up, Allah is saying, oh foolish person, put your hands up. First and foremost of tazkiyah, most precious and valuable thing of tazkiyah is what? Allah's love, the muhabbat of Allah. Most valuable thing. Whoever has got the love of Allah generated in himself, he has attained his destination. He is high level. High level drama is finished. Why do we commit sins? Why do we do wasteful actions? Why don't we do itaba'a of Allah? Why do we disobey Allah? Why do we discard salah? Why do we talk rubbish from our tongues? Why do we backbite? Oh, one reason, one root cause is that we don't have the love of Allah. Whoever has the love of Allah inside him, then he is the high level human being. High level human being. Yes, that Allah Ta'ala created a person in Qarn. Qarn. One human being was born, whose name was Hazrat Uwais Qarni. Subhanallah. And he was at that high level time of history. Uruj. People used to go and see the Prophet become Sahaba. They became companions. Such Sahaba, mashallah, that were made at that time. The greatest generation there was. And Hazrat Uwais Qarni was also at that time. And Allah kept Uwais in Qarn. In his town. He didn't call him or allow him to go and do ziyarah. But such love Allah Ta'ala gave him in his heart. Allah gave such love of his into the heart of Hazrat Uwais Qarni. Allah Ta'ala instilled that love into the heart of Hazrat Uwais Qarni. That Allah's Nabi Sallam, when he left this world, then subhanallah, the two great Sahabi, Hazrat Umar and Hazrat Ali, Rasulullah said there's a man in Qarn, an individual. Rasulullah said there's a man in Qarn, he's such a great person, go to him and ask him to do dua for my ummah. Subhanallah, imagine. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, I was surprised and shocked that Abu Bakr is here, I am here myself, he is here, such sahaba around me, and in Qarn, this man, but he's not a sahabi, he hasn't even arrived here. He hasn't come here. And he has got that daraja, but muhabbat has made him reach to that stage. That what is the effect of love, I'm trying to explain to you. That his darajat is so high, and Rasulullah said that go there. And this is the hukum. So how could they refuse Hazrat Umar and Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu? How would he refuse this order? This is the reaction of muhabbat. And look how it was the pull. He didn't come himself. So they seeking and looking. They went to a masjid. There's there a person here? A waste man with a waste. They said, Uwais. He said, Uwais. There's a mad person. The one is not some special man. You are Amirul Mu'mineen. You've come here. And why are you asking about that madman? He's not just a normal man. He just has one action. He just shepherds his camels and herds his camels. Subhanallah. Imagine his style. That close to Allah, how great he is. And in the eyes of the dunya, how they were degrading him. Looking down at him. So the people with the eyes, the real sight, they know the reality of what is high and what is low. So to realize and recognize a true person, then recognize him on the scale of love, that person. The scale of love. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, he said that, tell me, where's this man Uwais? Where is he? He said, oh, he's shepherding, herding his goats and camels. You'll be here somewhere out there in the wilderness. They went there and they saw him, young man, and he's with his camel. And he sat there and the camels are there. And maybe he was praying salah. When he was free from salah, he said, who are you? Are you travelers? Who are you? He said, that we want to meet Uwais. He said, yes, I am Uwais. Why do you want to meet me? Did you know that he's a Amirul Mu'mineen? He said, why have you come to meet me? I don't have time to meet you. I am immersed in the remembrance of Allah. Why do you pester me? I don't have time. They said that we have a message that we've come to give you. That's it. What is the message? He said, I'm Umar and this is Ali. He said, huh? Ali and Umar? You have come, why have you come to me? Why? SubhanAllah, met them people with love. He had love, so much love. He said, why have you arrived to me? Why have you come here? They said, Rasulullah has sent us here. When he heard Rasulullah, then his heart was about to, you could say, burst. Imagine his life, the transformation. He said, what's the point? What's the message? They said that Rasulullah said, that go to Uwais and say that do dua for my ummah. Abu Bakr Siddiq, is he not there to do dua? Was Umar not enough? Was Ali not enough? There's so many Sahaba Ikram, noble companions, Ashra Mubashara, Khulafa Rashideen, after Khulafa Rashideen, Ashra Mubashara, Asabe Badr, Asabe Uhud, Asabe Safa. The such great Jamaat of the companions, but who were they asking to do dua? Why? Because his love was so unique, Allah Ta'ala instilled that love into his heart, Hazrat Uwais Qarni. Love is such a beautiful thing, my friends. If you want to attain Allah, then through love, whoever has love in his heart, he will be recognized. The more love you have, the more you will be recognized. The more you have less fire and more you will have reward. And you will so recognize your disease, that shaitan and nafs. Why are we following them? Because we are lacking love. We disobey, we lie, we are stuck in the dunya, we love the dunya, we commit fraud, we deceive ourselves. Everything is inside us except for muhabbat, love. Totally, Allah has explained. Rasulullah did dua, do Allah, give me your love. So to attain this love, first of all, tariqah is what? To attain love? Say subhanallah. Sahar, night time, morning, do dua to Allah. Allah, Allah, become mine. Allah, I just want your nearness, Allah. My Hazrat Sahib rahmatullah used to say what? Subhanallah. Same dua I'll explain to you. Oh my Mawla, oh my Lord, Allah, I want connection with you, I want love with you, and Allah, I want love with you. Immense love with you. Nothing else, Allah. Allah, I just want you, Allah, I just want you. This is the dua of my Shaykh. Subhanallah. So connection with Allah, all other connections are a waste. Love with Allah, all other love is a waste. Ishq with Allah, all other ishq is a waste. Subhanallah. So this is the door, we should knock on the door of Allah. Allah, give me your love, Allah. Give me your love, Allah. And the second point in this dua, that Allah, to attain your love, Allah, give me your love. But to attain Allah's love, the second big amal is what? That those who love Allah, Allah, give me their nearness. Subhanallah. Who is telling us this? Imam al-Anbiya, Rasulullah, not Peer Sahib. Not some, oh, forget what you're saying. What are you talking about? Allah's Nabi says, Atiullah wa Atiur Rasul, is teaching us the path, the rasta to us. And whoever adopts this path, never ever will he leave this world empty-handed. Straight, he will attain his manzil destination and he'll enter into paradise. This is tazkiyah, purification. So the second part of this dua, first part is Allah, give me your love, and Allah, give me the love of such a person who himself loves you. So this dua, Allah, give me the love of a person in the world, Allah, who loves you himself. Do love with this person. Have love with this person. When you love that person, then you'll attain Allah's love. Subhanallah. So you will see, look at our nifaq and hypocrisy. Look at our nifaq and hypocrisy. If you want to attain somebody's nearness, then who should you love? Those who love Allah. If you want to attain Allah's love, then love those who love Allah. But we have nifaq on this path, and we have also destroyed this practice, that the more you have love with that individual, he has no desire for you to love him. That if, for example, you find somebody who's good, if he demands from you, love me, respect me, then he is not capable of being loved. Say subhanAllah, because he's stuck in the world himself, that person. He's stuck. If he says to you, oh, respect me, adore me, accept me as a sheikh, accept me as a peer, and he keeps on pleading to you and run after me. No. Muhabbat is automatically pulls on that person. If he says, go away from me, please, I don't need the company. You say, no, I can't leave the company. If he says, stop, he says, no, how can we stop? That, for example, they'll say, no, don't, you don't need to do anything. They say, no, we need to serve you. We want to say subhanAllah. Inside him, automatically, that student has the hub, the love. That everything I attain is through you, O my guide. It's through you, my guide, that I've attained the reality of the deen. And I give my all of service to you. So when you get to this fanayat, annihilation, Hazrat Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah, I remember his saying, he said, that when I used to get a little bit of time, I used to run to Hazrat Saranpuri Sahib. Why did we used to meet each other? That we used to speak to each other about our Sheikh, our teacher, Haji Sahib. So he used to understand that nothing else. I used to feel that I also learned from Saranpuri Sahib about my Sheikh, and he also, and for hours we would talk to each other about our Sheikh. We used to do tazkara and mention our yaar, our friend, because that love overwhelms that person. Yes, so maybe I might sound mad when I talk about my Sheikh repeatedly. So many times I talk about my Sheikh. So many times. Extremely I talk about him. And Allah, I say from my heart, that Allah, extend this love. It's not enough. Acha, after the Sheikhs passed away and died, not this, that the love of the Sheikh diminishes. No. Sheikh's face continues to arrive to the student. I'm sharing a statement. I heard this statement. Hazrat Arvi Sahib, rahmatullahi, Hazrat Arfi Sahib, I had his company for some time through the hukum of my teacher. My sheikh was my sheikh, but due to hukum, I also had his company, Hazrat Arfi Sahib. So Hazrat Arfi, Ramtarale, his statement I heard directly myself. And what a great sheikh he was, I cannot tell you, Hazrat Arfi Sahib. Yes, he was a Khalifa of Hazrat Thanvi Sahib. And mashallah, used to sit there, spend time, and ulama used to sit in his company. Great ulama used to sit in his company. And this statement I'm presenting to you, he said, do you think the company of the sheikh is a small thing? The sheikh, your guide, is such a great thing. Whoever's got a sheikh, he's attained so much, so much. He said, remember. He said, remember, after your sheikh passed away, do you think he's gone? No. There are three times, I'm telling you his words, that there's a time when a person is in this world, then you're in the arwa and alame hashar. These are his words. So one is the world in this dunya, the earth. And one is the arwa, after death. Yes, when you're in the grave, etc. And the third time, the hashar, he said, I guarantee you, the three phases of life, your sheikh will be there with you. Your sheikh. So then he said words further than that, but I won't go into that topic. We'll extend the discussion. Three places in the physical world, your sheikh will benefit you, to save you from Jahannam. And the alame arwa, when you reach there, the second phase, your sheikh will benefit you to save you. And alame hashar, in the world of hashar, bidnillah, he will intercede for his student and take him out of the traps. Which sheikh, which teacher? With he who you don't have munafiq and hypocrisy, rather you love him such a love that you attain Allah's love through the love of the teacher, the real teacher. When waswasa comes, shaitan's whispering, then you should be happy that subhanallah, these negative thoughts against my sheikh, bad thoughts, this is strengthening my iman, this challenge and test. Immediately you will think, shaitan will come, waswasa will come, deviate you, take you off track, tell you wrong things, bad thoughts, bad thinking, negative actions, tell you your sheikh's not right, come off the track, don't follow him, he'll show you the weak points of your sheikh, he does this wrong action, that wrong action. The pious predecessors say, if you have a sheikh for the sake of Allah, and that sheikh is that he fulfills the signs that Allah Ta'ala said, that when you see him, reminds you of Allah. No other secondary thing you remember. Dhikrullah, you do, he remembers, reminds you of Allah. Sheikh is he, the teacher, he doesn't need to tell you, his children, even his children, they remember that dhikr is happening here. Yes, they remember those times and the moments, his generations they remember. His offspring, they bear testimony and testify. Say subhanallah. So when you find a teacher guide like this, that in his company you remember Allah, after that you have waswasa, dreams, negative thoughts, don't care about those things. Rather, more forcefully go towards his company. The more you go with what he's saying, but if you go against the waswasa and the bad negative thoughts, then Allah will evade your status. But if you run into the trap and accept the negative thoughts and waswasa, then you've lost. So this is a test and a challenge. How does Allah Ta'ala give you the test? Allah tests every individual differently. Sometimes Allah tests you in such a way that with your sheikh, that give him a test, a challenge, negative thoughts come, shaitan, waswasa, say subhanallah. So my brothers, Allah's Nabi Sallam has given us the formula, the method, that such an individual find a guide, a teacher, that you have, that he sets the love on fire inside you. This is also the words of a teacher. One was Hazrat Hakim Akhtar Sahib, such a fantastic Hazrat Hakim Akhtar Sahib, you must have heard. He's also from the Chishtiya Silsila. And he was also Ajib, unique Ashik. He was a poet as well. Hazrat Hakim Akhtar Sahib, and his words were so unique. He said that in your body, in your heart, the fire should be on. You should be on fire inside with the love for your Sheikh. Yes? So here, some people say that I'm ashamed to say this, that he's my sheikh, because he's not an alim, he's not a scholar, he's not technically knowledgeable. And some people that say, how would people say this? He's not a scholar. They're ashamed that I tell people he's my teacher. And they have another sheikh. Then how will they get to their end point, to their destination? Allah says, Rasulullah said, ask Allah for his love. If you want to be fana in Allah, then Rasulullah said, first, immerse yourself in the teacher, the guide, who through his love you will attain yourself. Because Allah Ta'ala could have taken you off track. The reason for this is only one thing. That Allah Ta'ala, this is the azmat. Allah says, if I love somebody, then why do you say, how can you love me directly? If I love somebody, then without his love, how can you get to my love? Allah says, directly. How can you? Yes, so why do I love my sheikh? Why do I love my teacher? Listen to this. Allah says, the maqsad to love your teacher is, Allah Ta'ala says, through the love of the teacher, Allah says, then I will love you. And that is what we want. That is what we want. Yes, Allah, give me your love. Give me the love of the people that you love so that you may love me. Subhanallah. And also, next in this dua, that Allah, such an amal you will get from the teacher through which the love will continue to increase and increase. He's not a sheikh who cannot give you the amal that will continue to increase your love. If you don't get this amal from a teacher, then he cannot be a teacher. Say subhanallah. Subhanallah. So we will see those things that the Quran and Hadith tell us, the prescription. This is the path that first you have to love Allah, then you need to love those people who love Allah and love Him such a way that He, through His teaching, gives you the love of Allah. Say subhanallah. That the more darajat, the great high intensity of love that you want from Allah, then love your teacher maximum. Why? Because you want to attain Allah's nearness. People say he's mad, he's crazy. Oh, iskarni rahmatullah. What did he do? He was an ashik of Rasulullah sallam. And Allah ta'ala told the sahaba. They go there, that subhanallah, great personalities went to him. Not to other sahaba, but to him to do the dua. Because this was Allah's order. This was Allah's order. So Allah Ta'ala instilled such love in him. How? The do dua and be immersed in that person. But through his teaching and guidance, Allah will not leave my teacher. Nafs and shaitan, my family, friends, enemies, people in the world. But no, I will not leave this teacher. I will not leave this guide. And whoever fails in this, then he is failed in reaching to the love of Allah. This is the path I'm telling you, the solution. If you follow this path, you'll get to Allah. Tests will come. Hurdles will come. And people run away, they do U-turn, oh leave it, oh bath, oh finish this, but it's too hard, oh it's too hard to listen to my Shaykh's instruction, oh I'm not getting benefit from him. They do a U-turn, they run away, they take a U-turn. Doesn't matter what he sees after that. Once if a person finds a Kamil Shaykh, remember this, if you have found one Kamil Shaykh in your life, and the signs are present, and if you follow your nafs and do a U-turn on that Shaykh, then you've lost yourself for life. I'm telling you this now. The Shaykh, if he expels you himself, maybe then you'll be saved, because even then you tawbah and you come back. But a person who himself leaves his Shaykh, then the tawbah is very difficult to find after that, because he's played with his nafs. He's played with his nafs and his desires, that person. Shaykh, if he kicks you out or tells you to go, when the Shaykh tells you, then the Shaykh has karam and mercy, he tells him to go due to Islam, then he invites him back after that. He invites, say subhanallah. Subhanallah. Never will the Shaykh leave his student. Never. He gives a punishment. They go. Be gone with you. For a while, maybe. And I told you the weak point of the mashayikh also. But don't make this mistake that you invite that, for example, if he forgets you after that, then. So you should be safe from all of this. So be safe from his azab as well. So the shaykh, if he tells you to go, then there's a chance that he can give you tawajjuh and focus and re-invite you back. 10 years after, 5 years after. It's happened like this. After 8 years, people have been called back. But, if you go yourself and do a U-turn and run away, then my Shaykh has said, there's no happiness for he who has come and no sadness for he who has departed. Finished. End of story. Pages turned over. If he's come, no care. If he's gone. Fares is finished forever. He has deviated and come out of the path. And he's left that manzil, that destination. He's detached from it. Tasawwuf, I'm telling you. Tasawwuf. I'm not wasting your time, am I? Am I wasting your time? No. Yes, so you listen to all other things from the respected scholars. My department is tasawwuf. That's my department. So listen, understand hadith and the sayings. Listen to the ulama, hadith and that. But when you come to me, you listen to this unique subject. And not those other technicalities that you hear in other places. Some people, for example, how do you follow wajibat and sunnah of this amal? The ulama ikram, respected scholars will tell you. I'm telling you how the ruh, how your soul will submit to Allah. That's what I teach you. My subject is the ruh, the soul, the spirit inside you. So my brothers, so you understand everything up to now, the hadith I've told you? This dua. After that he is not a shaykh who does not teach you that action, who doesn't instill the love of Allah into your heart. The dua that Allah give me your love, and Allah give me the love of those people who love you. And Allah says, you will get my love from the shaykh. The true teacher. Fares will come through the teacher. My fares, Allah says. And your ma'amalat will be made through the teacher, the guide. The more you love your teacher, the more your darajat will increase. The more you are closer to your teacher, the more you will attain the qurban, nearness of Allah. This is the principle Allah has laid down for us to follow. This is the principle. But people aren't mad. 200 miles they used to walk to see the teacher. My sheikh, when he used to go to visit his sheikh, it was a very long distance, very long journey, 200 miles, river in between, walking by foot. Tell me. He said, one day When I used to start the journey, the next day, the end of the day, in the night or the third day afternoon, I would arrive there after walking, crossing the river. Just one place I used to get there, and I had one ana, one coin to cross the boat, the river. And he said, in the way, the sheikh ordered that on the way, don't accept the hostship of anyone on the way, don't eat from anyone, just come straight direct. 2 days, I used to visit on Thursday night, then we'd come back by foot from there. And back to our village. And then the next week again, all year lifelong, he said, this was my habit to go and do ziyarah of my sheikh. Week in, week out, the whole of my life, my sheikh did this. Imagine the life. And today, isn't his name alive? My sheikh's name? And where we sat in Bolton, who knows him in Bolton today? Where's Gadai, where he passed away? And where are we here in Bolton? How many arwahs are sitting here? How many people are listening to now what we're saying? Why? Because he made himself alive, he had the right path and direction, Atiullah wa Ati Rasul, he had attained through the guidance of his teacher. Hazrat Sheikh used to come, Hazrat Fazal Ali Quraish used to come to Gurai Sharif, and he used to recite a poem in Farsi, "Oh my Murid, you have a beautiful town. When I come here, then I smell the fragrance of Medina." Imagine, Fazal Ali Qureshi was saying this when he came to Gadai, his student's town. Imagine the love between the student and the Sheikh. Imagine. And today, if we give nasiha from the Sheikh, people are upset. Why is my Sheikh said this? They frown. They make faces. They frown. They turn, make a U-turn. Why has he stopped me doing this? Why has he told me to do this? If whoever, whatever your teacher tells you, your iman should at least be this, whatever my teacher is saying, 100% he's correct. 100%. And when you follow your opinions and whims and desires, you don't like what your Sheikh saying, end of story. You're doing for thawab, for this and that. No. Every action you have to do, I've told you, this silsila, tazkiyah, purification, most important thing is ijaza of the teacher. Permission of the teacher. If you just take a tussle with this, a little short while, oh, I want sawab, I want to do this, let me do this, I feel like doing this, then end. Empty box is that person. Empty box. And he will leave this life with a loss. A loser. Just like there's a false prophet. There's a false prophet. When his death comes of the false prophet, then that student, the false student, will die like that. He becomes a liar. Liar. How dare he, without ijazah, he does these actions. Everything you need ijazah, permission. Why? Why are we doing all of this? Caution to attain Allah, Atiullah, Atiur Rasul, and we're on that path, that track. And this is the route, the principles, the methods to follow this path. And this is the ibadah for this path, my friends. So Sheikh, what do you get from the Sheikh? Amal. Practice. What amal do we get from the teacher? وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَثِرًا لَلَكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ Subhanallah. So I now summarize the discussion of today. I'll end the discussion. 70 years I'm saying this, and today, until today, after 70 years, I'm still saying the same point. What is that point? ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ. ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ. I repeat and encourage my friends to do this. All of the kamal, when the Shaykh gives dhikr, then through the dhikr you get the achievement. No amal, second amal does he give you, the teacher, the Shaykh. Such an action he gives to you, he makes it fard. Wajibat, it becomes for you. Sunnah muakada he gives to you. Nawafil, it takes to the fard station, fard station. Allah's dhikrullah is the great action. Wala dhikrullah akbar. Dhikrullah is the great action. Look where the silsila starts from. So my brothers, find a wali Allah, a friend of Allah. Don't waste your time in this life. Very big time is going to come to us. Nothing will help us. No one will listen to your begging. No influence will help at that time. Nothing will help at that time. No question. All doors will be slammed shut. Just one action will help. And whoever adopts this path in this way, Ati'ullah wa Ati'ur Rasul, on the right path, the straight path, he will succeed. Keep on traveling. If you make a mistake, ask Allah for forgiveness. Keep on following this straight path. Alhamdulillah. Have courage and determination. May Allah Ta'ala give me tawfiq as well. And also, I ask for forgiveness. I've taken a lot of your time. So let's do a bit of dhikr of Allah now.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillah. Rabbil alamin. Salatu wassalamu ala sayyidina. Şefi'in اللهم اغفر لنا سنوانا وسوءنا حسن الله جدا خذنا اللهم اغفر لنا وخذ المصر تنقض المرض وخذ الأيام استغفر ربنا سلمنا أنفسنا ولم تغفر لنا وتعمل يا مقرب القلوب سبقتنا بها لدينا اللهم سبقنا الإيمان وحبتنا الإيمان وأشهد الإيمان ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد سنتنا وعمل اللهم نسلك سيرتنا في إيماننا إيمانا بحسن إذا تيتنا بأمور رحمة منك وعافية ومغفرة اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين اللهم استعملنا بسنته وعمره ومحبته وشنه اللهم اعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك يا الله تقبل فضلك ورحمتك يا الله عليك الرحمة يا الله عمل منزلك وحسن فرمان يا الله عمل زندگيك وحسن فرمان يا الله اپنی معرفت سے ایمان سے یقین سے ایمان سے نوازتے میں یا اللہ ہمیں چھوٹی بوٹی تمام غلطیوں کو معاف کرنا یا اللہ اپنے قرب خاص نصیب فرما یا اللہ اپنی رحمت نصیب فرما اپنا فضل نصیب فرما اپنا کرم نصیب فرما یا اللہ ہماری پریشانیوں کو مصیبتوں کو بیماریوں کو یا اللہ آفات کو بلاؤں سے سب سے ہمیں محفوظ فرما میرے مولا یا اللہ جو پریشان آئے تو پریشانی فرما یا اللہ جو اپنے ماں باپ کے اولاد کی وجہ سے پریشان جو ماں باپ ہیں بولا ان کی اولاد کی آنکھوں میں ٹھنڈک بنا یا اللہ ان کی اولاد کو ان کی آنکھوں میں ٹھنڈک بنا ان کی پریشانی کو دور فرما اے میرے مولا تمام کام آسانی کرنا یا اللہ آپ کو ثابت قدم فرما ہماری نیکیوں کو زیادہ یا اللہ ہماری نیتوں کو الگ باری فرمائے میرے مولا یا رحمٰن یا کرم کریم اپنے فضل و خاص سے رحمت سے موت ہم پہ آسان فرما یا اللہ موت کی منزل آسان فرما یا اللہ قبر کے عذابوں سے محفوظ فرما یا اللہ آخرت کی منزل آسان فرما میرے مولا یا اللہ آخرت کی منزل آسان فرما یا اللہ ہماری آخرت کی منزل آسان یا رحم رحیم یا رحم رحیم ربنا حب لنا من ازواجنا وذریاتنا قرۃ اعین واجعلنا للمتقین اماما اللهم رب ارحمهم كما ربيانی صغیرا اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا واستاذينا ومشايخنا وجميع المؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات اللهم منهم ومن برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون السلام على المرسلين والحمد لله